Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I am so happy that we are all here together. Whether we're here in church, you're joining us online, it is good for us to be together as God's people. I also want to say hi to Tommy, and I hope his first couple of weeks of school are going all right. Okay, have a great week. But it's wonderful for us to be here as we continue this green and growing season after Pentecost, as we continue to add our voices to God's children giving prayer and praise. Couple of announcements. First of all, next Sunday in the evening between 6 and 8 o'clock, youth group will be meeting. And so if you are in 9 through 12 grades or know someone, please remind them next Sunday, youth group. But it is also time for us here at St. John's to be inviting everyone who has been joining us in worship as guests and as visitors, give them the opportunity to join us as members. Beginning today, in between services, I'll be meeting with them in the chapel, and then also again on Sunday, the 24th of September, I will be meeting with these people, answering any kinds of questions and helping everyone to make those decisions. We will be welcoming new members on the weekend of Saturday, September 30th, and Sunday, October 1st. It is a delight to have all of the people, whether you've been here your entire life or you've only joined us in the last few months. It is good for us to be together, and I hope that we can all be joining together as God's family here at St. John's. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you have a chance to read through them all and discover ways that you can connect to our ministry here. But we've joined today to be in worship, so let us continue that worship by joining in our gathering song, Almighty. Let us rise and sing together. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, enliven and preserve your church with your perpetual mercy. Without your help, we mortals will fail. Remove far from us everything that is harmful, and lead us toward all that gives life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
First lesson comes from Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. So you, mortal, I have made a sentinel for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked ones, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but their blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from their ways, and if they do not turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Now you, mortal, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, our transgressions and our sins weigh upon us, and we waste away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson comes from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling, drunkenness, nor debauchery, or in licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 18th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of our Lord. The congregation may be seated. I would love to invite the children to come on forward. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Come on down. Come on. Now, have you guys ever read or played with these books before? Nowhere's Waldo? Oh, these are so much fun. You see, that's Waldo. See? And so as you go through these pages, as you look through these pictures, you've got to find Where's Waldo? Oh my gosh, you're fast. You know how long it takes me to do that usually? You literally looked at the picture and went, right there, there he is. You're amazing. Absolute, okay, fine. They do these and there's all kinds of things in it. This one's got historical things. So I figured, if it was, we're building pyramids, it might be easy to find Waldo. If you can do that again, I would be truly amazed. All right. Well, good. It took you more than 4 seconds. There. She is so good. Oh, my goodness. Okay, but you see, Where's Waldo? It's great. It's fun. You can find these at the library, if nothing else. It's such a wonderful time, all right? So now my question for you is, where's Jesus? Okay. He's in the ceiling? He's in the ceiling? No. Is Jesus here? See, that's the promise we heard from the gospel today. When I read the gospel, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there among them. And so there's four of us here, and we're gathered in the name of Jesus. Jesus is here. There's more than two or three out there, right? And we're all of us gathered in the name of Jesus. You know what? Jesus is here, right? Now, does it take 12 to get Jesus here? How about 36? Does it take 36? Got to be that many? It's 2 or 3. That's it. So it could just be me and you, and Jesus would be among us. That's a promise. Jesus wants to be with you. Jesus wants to care about you. Jesus wants to love you, help you, guide you. And so Jesus is here. Where 2 or 3 are gathered, there is Jesus. That's where Jesus is, right by us. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for being among us. We thank you for the promise that it takes only 2 or 3 of us, and you are with us. Walk with us, guide us, and grant us your peace. We thank you for the day, Lord. Amen. You guys have a great day. And you are really good at that. I've never seen anyone that fast. Here I'm expecting. Boom, right there. There he is. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel story this morning is really chock full of all sorts of different stuff. But I also believe that it contains some of the best good news that we ever get to hear. Because Jesus begins today talking about conflict and about forgiveness. He is showing us that trying to reconcile with our sisters and brothers is really important work for all of us to do. Jesus is showing us the importance of communication and patience, of courage in the face of hurt and suffering. Jesus is also showing us that persistence can be a powerful ally in our pursuit for that reconciliation. And that's really just the beginning of the good news we hear. Now, with full disclosure, this passage from Matthew 18 has been used as a way to kick people out of the church for a long time. There have been congregations and even entire denominations who have codified this process and have set up a kind of a machinery that they would use then to kick people out of the church. It would typically start with a one-on-one conversation, which would then lead to a small group meeting, usually before congregation council meeting happened, so that then at the very beginning of the congregation council meeting, they could vote and kick the person out. Sometimes, to bring about that eventual out-kicking, more and more strenuous and difficult conditions would be placed on the repentance or the apology. So that as you had a one-on-one, it was a simple thing. And when there was more people, it was more and more difficult until you finally brought in everyone and it became an almost impossible thing. As they were trying to herd these people out, some people actually enjoyed that process. They enjoyed the feeling of power that they were getting. They enjoyed the camaraderie they felt with the other group of like-minded individuals. But are they really listening to what Jesus is saying to us today? I'm not sure, because I see amazing good news in this reading. I see amazing good news in what Jesus is teaching us today. Now, part of that good news is that Jesus knows and understands that conflict, confusion, and suffering is part of our lives, even lives as children of God and as followers of Jesus. You see, as Christians, we can still sin against each other. We can be sinned against. Now, sometimes it's unintentional, but it can also be very intentional and very hurtful. Jesus knows all of this. He and Peter just had a moment where Jesus needed to scold Peter. So Jesus knows, and he wants all of us to know that this happens, but that forgiveness is possible. Jesus spends his time today teaching us to talk with each other, to listen to each other, and ultimately to forgive each other. This process that Jesus is showing us isn't a sort of express lane to kicking someone out. Rather, it's a patient process we're listening to, caring about, speaking your truth is all very important. And reconciliation is the goal. Not kicking someone out, reconciling. Because in Jesus' teaching, we are to speak to our sisters and brothers one-on-one. And then speak to them with a couple of others. And finally, to bring it to the attention of the whole church if necessary. But that circle widens in hopes that the care, the compassion, yes, the denunciation of wrongdoing, all of it, including the offer of forgiveness and hope, will grow wider and wider with each stage. The need for those many different stages in this process comes from our stubbornness and our sinfulness. Oftentimes we are unwilling to admit wrongdoing, and we definitely don't want to admit that we hurt someone. It can be embarrassing to fess up to our foolishness. And that's why it begins one-on-one. But as more are added to the conversation, it's not so that we can increase the embarrassment factor, but it's so we can add to the we're all in this together factor. But if none of that works, if a one-on-one conversation doesn't work, if two or three more gathered doesn't work, if bringing it to the entire church doesn't work, then Jesus concludes that we should, quote, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector, end quote. And that is where the let's kick them all out party gets their authority and their justification for what they're doing. But you see, I believe that that sentence is the heart of the good news in today's gospel. Now, once again, full disclosure, to be honest, for Jewish people of Jesus' day, Gentiles and tax collectors were among the group to be most avoided, if not sent away, with prejudice. The only other group that would have been liked less were Samaritans. Good, pious Jewish people dealt with Gentiles only when they were required to, and they tried not to deal with tax collectors because they did not trust them. All of these groups were often sneaky. They were looking for ways to cheat and to steal or to force their ideas on everyone else. And so to treat someone like a Gentile or a tax collector would be at least to kick them out, if not much worse. But, and this is a great big bold-faced type underline, but it's Jesus who says it. You see, we have to remember that it's Jesus who is teaching us today, and not Caiaphas, and not Elymas, and not Pilate, and not Gamaliel, none of them. It was Jesus. And how does Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? Jesus listens to them, spends time with them, eats and drinks with them. Jesus heals them, forgives them. Jesus loves the Gentiles and the tax collectors and the world around him. And I think that is exactly what Jesus' instruction to us is today. That brother or sister might seem to be unforgivable. But to Jesus, that means we spend more time and more love on them, not less. When we are the stubborn and the sinful one, Jesus loves us and loves us and desires that we repent. He desires our reconciliation. And this is what Jesus is encouraging us to do. This is what Jesus is teaching us to do today. Jesus wants us to spend our time in fruitful conversation with each other. But if that does not seem to be working, Jesus wants us to find ways to share and show love even from a distance. It's exactly how God treats us, and we are encouraged to treat each other just like that. Now that is amazing good news for us. Even for those that we are at odds with, it's good news. But it's not the best good news that we get today. Because you see, that comes from the last sentence of our reading today. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Think about that. In moments when it seems that God is far away, in moments when it feels as if Jesus has abandoned us, Jesus is among us. And it doesn't take 12 of us or 20. It's not a minimum of 100 or we can't have a congregational meeting. It's two or three. It's me and the one I've sinned against, or the one who sinned against me, and Jesus is among us. It is someone willing to listen, who helps to bring the presence of God's love in Jesus Christ to us. It is someone willing to walk with us, help us in our struggle, willing to stand beside us. But it's also all of us here. We who gather in the name of Jesus bring the presence of Jesus and the love of God to one another. That is the promise Jesus makes here today in the gospel. It's one of those amazing reasons that we come together in places like this, at times like this, to worship as we do, because Jesus is among us. Jesus is right beside us. That is good news, and in some ways it is the best good news. Jesus, our Savior, the one who loves all of you enough to be willing to die for us and rise again. This Jesus is among us right now. This Jesus is among us to give us strength and courage and patience and peace. This Jesus is among us to inspire forgiveness and reconciliation. This Jesus is among us for good. Amen. Please rise. Let us celebrate our baptism as we confess our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Remembering the caring and generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors. Hold us accountable, O God. Show your church where repentance is needed, and lead us in paths of intentional compassion and listening. Help us extend hands of reconciliation and care, especially in relationships with other Christians and people of other faiths. Lord, in your mercy, reveal your miracles to us, O God. Move us to cherish you as we behold the wonders of creation. Renew the seas and the soil, the forests and the creatures that live in them. Turn us to ways of living that seek earth's thriving. Lord, in your mercy, inspire us to lead with honor, O God. Guide judges and legislators, police and government officials to create and uphold just laws. Move us to treat all people with dignity and guide our conversations with one another. Lord, in your mercy, help us to comfort those who suffer, O God. Reassure any who are harmed by the wicked acts of others. Bring peace to all who are vulnerable, frightened, despairing, or sick. Guard their waking and their sleeping. Lord, in your mercy, God of all grace, there are so many people who need your healing presence. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these who are known to us who need your wholeness. We pray for Dick, Mary, Judith, Juanita, Judy, and Rhonda. Lord, in your mercy, awaken us, O God. Challenge and encourage your people to value the vocation to which each is called. We pray for all discerning new possibilities or changing employment. In all our diverse callings, teach us to love our neighbor above all else. Lord, in your mercy, be our hope, O God. We remember with thanksgiving your disciples who died in faith. Especially today, we remember Don Hinman and Dan Elsner. May their trust in your promise be our protection and our hope. Lord, in your mercy, remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these and the prayers of our hearts, trusting in your compassion made known through Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope that your week is filled with blessing as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
He has open arms, he will never fail us.